doors again. Come home and find her walking through walls again. Semi-conscious on the bathroom floor. I'm on first name terms with the crisis team. Coming in, I raise the parting last of us. I can see you laughing off your problems in a smoky room. Or tying ribbons round the railings for the girls who don't get gravestones when life gave you them as you squeezed them in your open wounds. I miss you every fucking day, wish I'd never said your name. Wish the world could have been a completely different place. Wish you'd never come to harm, wish you'd never felt your mind split into a thousand rooms that you got trapped inside. Tell a lie, what I wish is that you got to live your life. Keep fighting, little nightmare, goodbye. She called me a crucial McCree, she was the making of me. How come it's always the best of us that can't bear to be?
What he made the loud, what he made the right, what me on the road of each ride. I can kill any of the two, I'm she MSC of crew. Yoga's red, check out, I'm she or a hoo. You're a hunting main street, shoot the eye, Jimmy, I'm her in the eye. But come and jail, be a god of right. I'll take them to go moi, go go to the hive. You make me stand out, I'll run an Irish goodbye.
Right, so we're here with Telescreens backstage at what's this venue called again?
Annabelle's.
It's Annabelle's, right next to Queen Elizabeth Theatre. That's the big one.
Beautiful.
Annabelle's.
It's a beautiful venue. I'm really looking forward to seeing
there's
you guys.
Chandeliers right now and all types of
chocolate fountains,
velvet walls, and suede.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're joined by Telescreens. Welcome back to Toronto, guys.
Thank you so much.
It's been a little while. I saw you last year when you were here with Franz Ferdinand.
Oh.
It was an incredible show at History.
Yes, that we like that place. It's a great venue.
Almost a year ago, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Wow. Time flies.
What a year it's been, eh?
It's been a great year. It has. Mm-hmm. We're very lucky. We're back on tour, and we can't wait for our headline tour in the fall.
Mm-hmm. So you're coming back again, and like this time is going to be on your own terms.
We will be on our own terms, playing very long, sweaty rock and roll sets. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to take it back a few years to when you guys were like putting out your debut album, when this had all kind of started. If someone heard that first album after just seeing you guys live, they wouldn't believe that it was the same band. It was a very different sound back then.
Right.
How did everything kind of change, like, from back then? Like, for people who don't know, it was a lot more kind of, there was a bit more of like a hip-hop influence on it. There was a lot more electronic, well, there's still electronic and keys, but like, there was a lot more kind of like rap, hip-hop music going on. And it sort of moved more towards this very live, organic sound. How did that come about to be?
Love that question.
That was a very like clear conversation and intentional conversation we actually had. I remember we were on a rooftop in New York overlooking the Hudson River, and it was kind of post-pandemic. We all gathered back in New York after being in you know, and being shut down, all that stuff. And we were like, we have a lot of electronic demos, we have a lot of songs Jack had on Q-Sick. We were like, what direction should we go? We decided that, you know, people have been locked down long enough, and we want to curate a sound and a space for people to get together in real life, feel the sweat, jump around. And so we decided to lean into the rock and roll. And that's what Seven is. And that's why you hear that. But I always say, for Return, that first album is kind of like the mother room for how we might manifest going forward. So
there's still a little bit of that carrying forward in all of your music.
It's all in our DNA.
I also feel like that album was the result of the music that came out in that time, 2016, 2015. 2017, there was a lot of incredible music in that kind of ecosystem and genre with like, you know, Blonde and Damn and Pablo and all of these records that were very formative for us and just honestly blew our minds as kids. And so we just kind of, we were like, we want to be just like Kanye, man.
I feel like that was a big thing at the time. Like a lot of bands that were coming out that were maybe just like in their developmental phases in the mid 2010s, when they came out and like were in full force in the 2020s.
Yeah.
You kind of had bands that were like drawing influences from a lot of different places. Like you guys might remember that period when it was like in the early to mid 2010s when everyone was so like purist about everything.
Yeah,
and they were like, if you listen to rock music, you can't listen to this other thing.
Yeah.
And then bands like, I don't know, I want to say maybe Royal Blood was maybe the first time that I saw like magazines losing their mind when they were like, we listen to Kanye as well as Queen, or we can listen to like Led Zeppelin as well as To Pimp a Butterfly. Like, right, I remember that being a big deal.
Totally. They're awesome.
I love Royal Blood.
So I feel like you guys came from that kind of like that new acceptance of bringing together different genres too.
Maybe I would say a post-homogenized music listening, you know, level of like Spotify being a thing that we all, you know, transitioned from having to buy songs to having every single song ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like our band is one of, you know, kind of on that first generation of people who kind of had, we had CDs, we had, you know, Walkmans, we had iPods, we had iTunes. We watched the entire thing change. And then we were kind of 17, 18 when suddenly all of it was available. So I think, you know, that reflects in the music of just suddenly you have everything, you know.
All of us came from very different, like, musical backgrounds as well. Josiah and Austin wanted to be hip-hop producers. Jackson and I obviously grew up playing rock and roll music more traditionally, but it's that strength in us being able to come together with these disparate influences, these different things that inspired us when we were young, and these things that brought us together, you know, in our adolescence as we grew older, these like what they were talking about, stuff like Blonde and Damn and, you know, so albums like that that just blew all of our minds. The fact that we came from these influences that were so different and then found things that came together, it reflects in the music.
I think also, like, the art reflects, like, the way you made it and the tools that were available to us at the time that we were making that music. So, like, during the Return era, we didn't have, like, unadulterated access to studios all the time. And, you know, obviously we were heavily influenced by, like, Frank and Kendrick, Kanye in that era. So we were excited to, like, create in that style. But once we started working on Seven, like, our main resource was a rehearsal studio, you know. So the songs became what they were as a huge product of that, and a drummer. Yeah. Thank goodness for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big moment in the sound changing as well, right? Like, going, playing these songs live and realizing that it needed, at least in your case, it needed a live drummer.
You've done your research.
I have, yes.
Yeah.
Indeed, it was. Thank God I ran into Oliver Graf, the greatest drummer on the planet, yeah.
And I feel like, you know, just running into him, firstly, very New York City thing to do, just be like, such a huge city, but you will run into exactly the people you need at exactly the time you need them.
You just gave me goosebumps.
Yeah.
But I feel like that ties in very nicely to the
full body goosebumps. Wow, you really did. Oh my God. Look at you. Jesus Christ.
Stop it.
Wow. Yes. Synchronicity. Mm-hmm. It's all happening for a reason. That is, I guess, the theme of Why the Lights Flicker, is that there is a unspoken, inaccessible world that flows through music. And, you know, we can recognize with our conscious mind these things that are in front of us, but a lot of things are not in front of us and they're around us and they exist as part of the human sphere and the well that runs through us all. And the river flows with a nature that goes from the mountains to the ocean, and we're all part of that. So, yeah.
And you're all kind of just channeling it in that moment.
Exactly, yeah. So I think, you know, all of it happened for a reason. None of us really planned to be here, except probably me. And yeah, here we are, still going.
Yeah, lots of, like, ideas of serendipity on the album as well. I want to know a little bit about the album title, because, like, you kind of, like, bring in this, like, things happening at a time and a place for a reason into the album title as well.
Yeah. So every time I would write songs in, going dating back to, like, you know, middle school, high school, the lights would flicker in my room. My brothers started to notice it too when I would tell them. And it was like, it was the moment right before a song would happen. There would just be kind of stillness in the air. And I always talked about, like, a tsunami. All the water rushes away from a beach before a tsunami comes. It's the kind of same as when a song comes. You can kind of just feel it. Even just now, like, we were sound checking and Josiah just started playing something, and it was immediately, both of us knew that one day that keyboard part will land on a record and people will hear it. And when you sometimes you're struggling for years to find a keyboard part that will land on a record, and all of a sudden there it is, right there on something that doesn't even exist yet. So it's definitely about paying attention to those things, and I feel like music is proof of that existing, and the whole record is just dedicated to that and trying to get people to connect to that. And, you know, in a world that's, like, you know, imprisoned by scrolling on our phones, and, you know, we're a generation that's being raped by slot machines that are in our pockets, and, you know, you could say it's not money, but it's time. Time is money. So this is important to get people outside. Very important.
Very important. And I also feel like it's quite a, like, post-lockdown, post-COVID idea to be like, we need to connect in person.
Yes.
Like, I've seen that at campus radio. Like, it was very, very dead pre-lockdown.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, after COVID, even though technically what we're doing can sort of be replaced by a TikTok channel, but like, people want to come in person, be in a room with other people.
100%.
Connect with actual people, get phone calls, kind of like share music in a more organic way, almost
the way it's always been done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess that's the case with like with your music as well. And you touched on that a little bit on like some of the songs on the album as well. The first single that you guys released, Nothing, there's a little bit of that, like kind of wanting to reach out, be heard, hear other people, kind of just connect with people, right?
Feeling understood right now. God damn. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening. Makes me very happy that you're paying attention.
Yeah. When did that song come out? Like 6 months ago? Yeah, no, it's been out for a little while. Yeah. We've had some time to just like let it seep in as well. I'm going to pick out a couple of lyrics from it. And I feel like that's going towards that sort of thing where you're talking about how you still have something left to say, something more to give. What is the something that you're kind of reaching for?
I guess that's what it is. It's the intangible, the nothing. And I think the idea of nothing is interesting because it's like, you know, we have another song on the record called God of Nothing. That was the hardest one to finish for me personally because felt like the real thesis moment of the record. And I guess this idea of nothing is like the absence of all things, everything in between it. And what you would call nothing is maybe the most important thing.
Yeah.
And you're just looking to feel that.
For me, it's the pursuit of the intangible. It's the pursuit of the intangible being the experience, because that's kind of what it is for us. Like, you know, you've dedicated our lives to music and just try, you know, we want to be the biggest band on the planet. We want to strive for something way beyond each of us individually. You don't know how that's going to manifest. So it's like that with everyone's life. It's just like wanting to have something to strive for, wanting to have something completely unknown that you're jumping into fearlessly, and you don't know what it is. It's nothing. It's void. It can't be defined. But for me, that's what that means for me. It's like not. It's about the journey rather than the destination.
And it also seems like it's about like you come from these like areas of nothing where individually it might be nothing, but then it's like four of you coming together and you guys and your fans coming together and it becoming something so much bigger than what any of you can like individually do.
Wow, that's yeah.
Yes, dude.
That's
yes,
great.
Fucking sick.
And it also seems to me like, again, a very kind of Gen Z post lockdown kind of idea where you're kind of looking for something of your own, kind of like your own musical identity, your own generational identity. You're sort of fighting nostalgia in a sense as well.
Yes. Mm. Fuck me.
That's that's great.
I think also, yeah, the fighting nostalgia thing is huge because we're also post IP acquisition, where all of the biggest things that have ever been made are being refed to us, and so nothing is new.
Yeah.
Nothing mainstream is really new. And I feel like now, kind of 2025, 26, we're starting to see some like artists of our generation really get into the mainstream. Like you look at like Fontaine's DC, their streams were less than like 50 mil last year. Suddenly they're in the hundreds of millions. People are kind of like, it's becoming a thing for our generation of rock and roll. It's like starting to become mainstream again.
Mm-hmm. They headlined the venue just downstairs.
Oh,
the 3,500 people. It's cool. Like it's getting big out there.
Yeah.
And it's been really nice to see like artists of that sort, artists who are kind of doing their own thing, who are not just like nostalgia acts or like people who are kind of clearly going for a certain kind of sound, like getting big on their own terms. It's been really, really amazing to see. But there's also like, I want to come to another song of yours, Preachers, which is the latest single that you guys released.
We have one more, Baby, I Know You Well, after that one.
Okay. But like on Preachers, you're kind of touching on this idea of like building people up to something that's maybe like more than they can get to. You're building up kind of like false idols. Mm-hmm. And then almost like the public spectacle of watching them fall. It's also just like an idea that you guys kind of touch upon.
I like to equate that song to the South Park episode of Britney Spears. Just go watch that.
But also really interesting music video for that one.
Thank you.
You managed to get Kareem from Subway Takes to be on that one.
Yeah.
And you went on Subway Takes yourself.
Yes, Jackson. Yes, he's a good friend of the band and we love Kareem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did all that happen?
Just, you know, we just met and liked each other and drank beer together and asked him to come be our talk show host for our music video, and he said yes.
Just another New York City
just
thing.
Just another random link, two good people hanging out. That's all, mm-hmm. you know.
Just you run into people when you need them.
Exactly. Yeah. He's also in a rock band, Tiny Gun.
And I did not know
so,
that.
So yeah, check them out. They got a great catalog.
Mm-hmm. I love that subway take of yours where you were just like, rock and roll lives in New York City.
Yeah, I just tried to get people to the show, to be honest.
But like, how serious were you about that? Like, how strongly do you believe in kind of like the rock and roll of New York? It obviously comes from like a long history, but where are we at right now?
I think we're in a good spot. I feel like there was the post-COVID boom that we were a part of where everybody went outside, and then there was some and a lot of bands have now broken nationally and are trying to break nationally and internationally, and we're part of that, trying to like expand out of New York and make this our lives. And yeah, I think it's in a good spot, honestly. It's budding, it has waves, peaks and valleys, but I think we're in a good place.
Any New York bands that you're particularly fond of right now? Like,
we love Cab Ellis, and I love The Thing, and Torture in the Desert Spiders, of course.
I'm a big fan of Geese.
Yeah, Sweezy likes Geese.
I'm a big Geese fan.
Mm-hmm.
Nautix.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen the recent, like, the Lip Critic Laundromat show?
Oh, yeah, we saw that, yeah.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. So, like, with all of this new stuff around, what does rock and roll mean to you guys today?
I'll take that. I would say it's more of a an expression of freedom, of being you, unadulterated, unconditioned. Because mm-hmm. it's like, I know it has a lot of, like, cultural context around it, but I feel like the spirit of rock and roll, especially today, is really empowering the individual to be free to shed any preconceived notions of who you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to like, and not really caring about the boxes, being a river that flows to the ocean.
For
me, that it's like freedom and being empowered to fully embody that.
Sounds like authenticity to me.
That's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's about it's like a form of escape. It's a way to let everyone that's involved with it, whether they're listening to a song on the radio or on their AirPods or in a room with, you know, hundreds of other people, to just forget about everything that's plaguing them and on their mind and just eating at them, and just to be present and in the moment for a second.
Comes back to connection then.
It's a rock and roll is about connection. Mm-hmm. We just want to channel the energy and connection with the people in the room with us.
I have one question. I don't know if like you'd be able to answer this one, but like obviously you're all about creating something new, about like pushing the boundaries, doing something for your generation and everything. But you're also kind of coming from like 70 years of rock and roll history. You're kind of, I think every time that you guys leave New York, you probably get asked, oh, New York City scene, New York music, you're kind of like representing New York. Do you feel that kind of contradiction of being like, you're lifting this 70-year-old genre, there's obviously been stuff that's come before you, and then like you reference a bit of it in your music, people draw comparisons and be like, does this sound a little bit like so-and-so indie band?
I mean, I feel like the electric guitar is like less than 100 years old, and I feel like we have at least 1,000 years of innovation out of it. So people got to get creative with it, you know.
Yeah,
they managed to juice the piano for 1,000 years, so
here's another 1,000 for the guitar, right? But like, I think you guys managed to do that in a kind of cinematic manner. Like, I think back to Seven, where you had the song Interlude Blue, where that would fit in a movie scene. Where you're just kind of like walking down, it sounds like a voice note, kind of like you're on like a walk in the park. You can hear the sound. Like, it's not a studio recording.
It's literally a voice memo of me walking down the street. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured. So, like, how does all that fit into the same record where, like, one moment you're on stage, it's kind of rock and roll, there's studio moments that sound, like, really wonderfully produced and everything, and then you have those little moments, too.
That happens kind of when we finish the album, we have all of our songs, and we're kind of listening to the world that it exists in linearly. So you're listening to it from top to bottom. And we kind of listen, you know, for like the ebb and flow of it. Like, do we need a transition to get down? Do we need a transition to get up? And so that, if my memory serves me correctly, was created out of it's like 12 out of 10 for the first 4 or 5 songs. Let's like, I think it's after Bend. That's like, let's let them sit in that and digest it. So it definitely came from that desire to balance out the journey. And there's a lot of that in Return. And it's kind of like how we make our albums.
Yeah.
I'm always very inspired by Frank Ocean, but specifically on Future Free, he has that moment in the end of the record where it goes completely silent for like 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that has totally blown my mind in many times in my life, because you get through all of Blonde and then there's 15 seconds where you're just with yourself and then the music comes back in, and it makes you realize that like every moment of life is different, and you're in that 15 seconds never in the same place at the same time, even though the music of the whole record is the same. That 15 seconds will always sound different. So
that's a great way of thinking of it. And I love that you're like thinking about your albums as an experience or as a body of work, yes, rather than just a collection of songs.
Totally.
And another thing that you guys do in like an almost like classic, like, I don't know, maybe like 90s manner of writing music, is that you put in the long albums. Like if you look at a lot of bands putting out albums nowadays, 40 minutes is about as much as you're going to get. And your last album was like an hour and 10.
This next one's going to be hour and 37.
Amazing.
It's
basically a double album.
It is, yeah. It's probably a bad idea. I wouldn't recommend it. But you know, it's just album. What happens when we have songs that we feel like they have to see the light of day, and we like playing them live. So
we like making music, you know. Making music's our favorite thing to do. So
well, easier to do because you've gone independent now and you can kind of just do whatever you want.
Well, yeah, we're currently with Plus One Records, so we've signed with an indie, and they are wonderful, and we're very much enjoying being able to put out songs. Yeah.
And why did you feel like this new album was a good time to move away from a major?
The major label system is very corrupt, and we were quite happy to find our way out of it, and it kind of happened naturally. It can be great, and you can totally have great success with great teams, but the problem is not necessarily like the personnel working, but just the way that it's structured is, it means if, you know, you can sign to a label and have 5 people who you love working there, and a year or two later, none of those people will be working there. Mm-hmm. So.
And then all of a sudden, the people that like you have built that relationship with you and
aren't even working at the label, and so that's then you get, you know, suddenly partnered up with somebody who you don't have any kind of agreeable natures with, and it can be complicated. But also, you can totally hit a stride, and in any situation, it depends. There's a lot of great labels doing a lot of great work.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing you guys tonight opening for Sir Chloe. A really exciting show. The venue, the room we're standing in right now, looks fantastic. What can people expect from your live show?
Blood, sweat, and tears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of energy,
passion.
No passion, just energy. I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
Energy and rock and roll.
Yeah.
Well, what's coming up for you guys next? Because the album's out on the 12th of June. I imagine there'll be like tours and I can actually do this part again.
We're gonna do a headline tour. Album comes out June 12th, and we're gonna do a headline tour in the fall. So whoever hears this, we will be around America, and Canada, late September, October of 2026.
What cities are you going to be hitting in Canada?
We're going to do Toronto, Montreal, maybe Vancouver if there's enough gas money.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And what's anything else that's coming up in the next year or so? Any other big plans?
Probably some songs from our next album, which we already have done, so...
Amazing.
Yeah,
and as psychos. We heard, you were kind of writing during soundcheck, so we never know.
We never know, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Telescreens, thanks so much for doing
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great dinner.
Call it off, all your friends, give
Hey, we're Telescreens. Go listen to us on CFRC Radio.
Awesome. One takers.
Hello, you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. This program features smoking hot local singles released right here in Kingston that have been featured in the weekly Release Radar series. And in this week's episode, we caught up with local singer-songwriter Seth W.J. Hunt, who joined us to chat about his newly released five-track EP entitled Somewhere Between Here and Brooklyn. After our conversation, we'll listen to all the tracks from the new release. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show. All right. Well, thank you, Seth, for joining us here on CFRC and the Release Radar Rundown. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Great. Thank you for having me.
All right, buddy. Tell us the short story of your musical journey. You were born in Gananoque, but you've been all over the place selling out shows in places like Toronto, New York, and even Los Angeles. Tell us about the musical journey.
Yeah, so musical journey started when I was a kid. I started playing drums and guitar. I got into a punk rock band in high school with my buddy Riley and then Dev Pierce, who we eventually went on to form the Backsteps together. Mm-hmm. It was myself, Devin, Luke Garrison, Josh McAvoy. And then we were fortunate enough to travel all over North America doing shows. Took us to, you know, California, you know, Oregon, New York, Massachusetts, Halifax, like anywhere we wanted to go, we were able to find a show, which was great. Then we all parted ways in the Backsteps, just as, you know, we're all still very close friends, just different adult lives we all wanted to live. And I started doing solo music. I recorded my debut album in my living room with my buddy Josh, and released that. And you know, basically hit the ground running on the solo stuff too. Just tried to book as many shows as possible, whether that be with a band behind me doing that solo material, or just acoustic shows, just trying to play as much as possible. But yeah, musical journey was started in punk rock, still kind of rooted in the punk rock scene, but more focused on songwriting and just touring now.
Thank you very much. And now you have a new EP. It's called Somewhere Between Here and Brooklyn. Tell us about it.
So it's a full acoustic EP. Basically, I was, you know, as you know, we've had the longest winter ever. So I was writing a lot of kind of gloomier sounding songs and, you know, just trying to focus more on crafting lyrics and being real with lyrics and how I was feeling and emotion. And I had about 20 songs that I really enjoyed that I've been kind of testing the waters live, and I narrowed it down to 3 originals that were really hitting well with the crowds at live shows. So I decided I wanted to record those. And then as far as the 2 covers go, Black by Pearl Jam was one, and that was one that I had done in a couple shows just in like an encore, just, you know, just as one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of great crowd reception. And when we were in the studio, or not really studio, in the living room recording EP, Josh was like, you should record that cover of Black. So we did it. And then Other Side by the Red Hot Chili Peppers was the other one. That one I haven't really played live before. I just really wanted to learn how to play it one day. And I started learning it, playing it, singing it. And it felt really good. It felt really good, felt really comfortable. So I just decided to record that one on the spot as well. But yeah, the EP, it's all acoustic. It's all one mic. For most of it, it's one take. And yeah, I'm very happy with the way it turned out.
Awesome. And it sounds great. And indeed, it's acoustic. It feels a little more stripped down from your 2025 full-length release, Almost Famous, Almost 25.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, tell us about the trajectory. You went from almost a full band with a lot of sound and a lot of activity going on with that album. This one is just you, solo, in your living room with a microphone. Tell us a little bit more about why this EP sounds so much different than the previous album.
Yeah, with the previous album, it was a lot of fun to record. It's a lot of fun to play those songs live. But I noticed when people would give feedback on the record, a lot of their favorite songs were songs that were either very little instrumental or just acoustic guitar and vocals. So I kind of took that into account. I noticed the music I was writing was a little bit more, you know, a little more folk and singer-songwriter based. And I think the thing with me is I consider myself a songwriter first and foremost. I love writing lyrics. I love just to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you strip back a song to acoustic guitar and vocals, it makes the lyrics of the song more delicate or more emotional because you're just getting the lyrics of a song, basically. And for myself, I'm not a very flashy guitar player, so it's, you know, the guitar is just kind of there, but I think the lyrics are the center of the song. And when you have just guitar and vocals, that kind of illuminates a bit more.
And so how do you write your composition to fit with the lyrics, especially when you want your lyrics to be front and center?
I'm a super ADHD person, so I'm always kind of humming along, singing different songs, this and that. So I find myself oftentimes I'll pick up a guitar and I'll kind of start playing just a couple chords, just kind of noodling around, and I'll find a couple chords that work for me and I'll start humming. Or even I'll start playing a song that I already know and that I already like, and, you know, kind of be like, oh, it'd be cool if we change this chord here, and kind of work on different melody lines. And then for me, the lyrics are kind of like, I write from a very real place. So I'll write a song about, you know, my girlfriend, or I'll write a song about the way I'm feeling emotionally about something or somebody. And it always kind of goes through. It always starts off with me just kind of noodling, humming into my phone, just trying to get a good melody. And then lyrics, or oftentimes I'll go through my phone and I'll find old lyrics or lines that work really well, and I'll try and incorporate those in some way. But I'm always thinking of new lyric ideas and just trying to kind of flow as much as possible.
So tell us a little bit about the three originals that are on your album. You talked a little bit about the covers by the Chili Peppers and Pearl Jam, but you have three originals on here: Brooklyn, Stay, and Coming Home. Can you tell us a little bit about each of these songs?
Yeah, of course. So Brooklyn was a song that I wrote about a trip to New York City back in December. Mm-hmm. I went with my girlfriend, and it was a great time. It was her first time going to New York, and I got to, that's where my family's from, so I got to show her around, and it was really cool. So I wrote that song about her and that trip in particular. Coming Home was a song that I wrote about basically with the winter kind of never ending and kind of having that feeling of like, oh geez, like here we go again. Just about kind of trying to find your way or find your way, quote unquote, home, not knowing where that is quite yet. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the idea behind that one. And that one was very inspired by Cameron Winter. I was listening to a song by his called, I think it's called Take Me With You. Mm-hmm. And I really liked the vibe of that song. So that's kind of what I was going for with that one. And then Stay, that was a song that I wrote actually on the spot in the studio or while we were recording. I just kind of started playing those chords. I can't remember what song I was noodling with, but I think it was a song off of, I think it was a song called In My Time of Need by Ryan Adams. And then I just kind of took a little spin on that. And then I was like, I'd be cool to write like a really low key song like this. So I just kind of started playing chords, pulled out my phone, wrote down a few, because with Stay, there's not a ton of lyrics in that song. So I just kind of wrote down the first things that came to mind, and that ended up being the final version of the song. And I think me personally, I think Stay is probably my favorite song off the EP.
Thank you so much. And we're going to have a listen to all of the music off the new EP in just a few short minutes. But before we wrap up with you, Seth, can you tell us about any upcoming gigs locally, or maybe some mini tours you have going on this spring and summer?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm playing at Ottawa Blues Fest July 17th. I'm pretty excited. That's been a bucket list festival of mine, and I'm glad I finally had the opportunity to play. I'll be playing with the same day as Ella Langley and Sheryl Crow and Death from Above, 1970-79. So I'm pretty excited about that one.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, definitely some artists that are still prominent in the music scene and rising in the music scene. So it's great. Elle Langley in particular, she's kind of rising to stardom now, and Sheryl Crow is obviously amazing and iconic, and you know. And then I go to San Francisco for a gig out west, and then I have a couple festival gigs in British Columbia. I've never been to British Columbia before, so I'm pretty excited to head out there in July for a few festival gigs.
Wow, so a lot of West Coast action for you.
A lot of West Coast action. I'm excited to spend some time hiking, hanging out by the ocean.
And writing some songs.
That's, of course. Yeah.
Amazing. All right, before we close, Seth, how can people keep up with the latest news and maybe any local gigs you have coming up?
Yes, so we are right now, I don't have a date, but I have plans to do a show at the Broom Factory. That'll be just keep your eyes open and follow me on social media at Seth WJ Hunt. Anywhere you find music, anywhere you consume content, that's where I'll be. I post a lot on Instagram is the main one. And if you ever want to reach me with any questions or any show opportunities or really, really anything in mind, just shoot me a message. I'm pretty active.
Thank you so much, Seth. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you. And huge congratulations on this new EP. It's fantastic. And everybody's going to hear the whole thing right now. Thanks for joining us here on CFRC.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for all the support over the years. It's very much appreciated.
Snow in Central Park's a little boring, baby. Let's skip rocks off the river where your memory gets hazy. Me, I'm just jaded and overstimulated, I guess. The subway rumbles underneath the city. The hair in your face makes you look kinda pretty. The smell of perfume masks the smell of smog. My friends don't get my mood. All they know is I'm so in love with you. My friends don't get my mood. All they know is I'm so in love with you. Hollywood Hills are getting kinda lonely, and life really sucks when you blow all your money, and everyone's electric and everything's eccentric too. I feel like a lost soul who's leached on to summer. Every day it rains, it feels like a bummer, except for the odd rainy day in June. And my friends are curious how I became delirious to you. My friends don't get my mood. All they know is I'm so in love with you. With you. With you. With you. Get my mood. All they know is I'm so in love with you. How long will I slide? Separate my side. I don't believe it. My throat is brought it up and brought up the past. Won't you know you can never go back? I gotta take it on the other side. Centuries of what it meant to me. Cemetery where I bury the sea. Stranger things have never changed my mind. I gotta take it on the other side. Take it on the other side. Take it on. Take it on. Still a slut, I gotta take it on the other side. I start shouting and she's in my bed. And the winter for the Sunday best. I pull the trigger and I fall the bread. I gotta take it on the other side. Take it on the other side. Take it on. If you want, can you take me back? And I'll do anything you want me to do. And I'll sit back and relax. And I will stay until tomorrow. And then I'll take the train back home. It's not the home that I wanted. It's not the home that I need. But I'll stay. But I'll stay. But I'll stay. But I'll stay. stay, but I'll stay, but I'll stay. Canvas untouched sheets of clay, her legs spread out before me as her body once did, and all her five horizons over round the sun, as the earth to the sun, and now the air I've tasted and breathe has taken a turn. And now my bitter hands cradle broken glass of what was everything. All the pictures have all been washed back, tattooed everything. I take a walk outside, I'm surrounded by some kids that play. Oh, I can feel their laughter, so I do my turn. And twisted thoughts that spin around my head, all been washed and black, tattooed everything. All the love gone bad, turned my world to black, tattooed on I see. Star in somebody else's sky, but why can it be, or can it be
And you just heard Black Stay, Other Side, and Brooklyn, four of the tracks on Seth W.J. Hunt's new EP, Somewhere Between Here and Brooklyn. And thanks to Seth for joining us today to chat all about it. And just a reminder to the local musicians out there who want their new work amplified on social media and aired on CFRC, they can complete the release rate or submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via Visit Kingston.music on Instagram. And don't forget to smash that follow button at CFRC Music as well on Instagram. For now, we're going to end our show with the last song on Seth's new EP called Coming Home. You can stream anywhere, anytime. Thanks for tuning in to the Release Radar Rundown, developed in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. We'll see you next time.
Got $1,500 in my pocket and $4,000 worth of debt. I'm gonna start a life, and I'll spend my money on cheap cigarettes. Baby, you know I can't live without it. I'm gonna start a life. You could be the one for me. You could be the one for me. You could be the one to take me home. Ontario is cold and lonely, and the winter here will never end. I'm gonna lose my mind. 1,000 miles away still feels like I'll be back home to you someday. You know I'll be fine. You could be the one for me. You could be the one for me. You could be the one to take me home. I love your eyes. I love your eyes. I love your eyes. I'm coming home with you. You could be the one for me. You could be the one for me. You could be the one to take me home.
Monday.
Yeah.
When traffic's a nightmare. When the workplace is hectic. When your boss calls you in for a meeting. When nature isn't on your side. There's only one thing you can do.
But no need to wake up the neighbors. Tune in every Monday night from 11 p.m. to midnight for Shed Progressions, where we play an hour of cool jazz to help you relax after a long day. Again, that's Shed Progressions every Monday night at 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
We're not afraid to get a little funky.
This Mother's Day, Sunday, May 10th, from 10:30 a.m. till 4 p.m., join AWEC, the All-Women Entrepreneurship Circuit, for a curated spring pop-up market at the Ted Center, featuring more than 30 incredible female-owned brands and local makers. From handcrafted gifts to unique finds you won't see anywhere else, it's the perfect place to shop with intention and treat the moms and mother figures in your life.